Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
NASDAQ futures fall after yesterday's Fed-fueled rally.
Facebook owner Meta Platforms drops following earnings. Amazon and Apple report today.
President Biden and China's Xi Jinping get set to speak.
And Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer strike a deal on a tax and energy policy bill.
There's an offer on the table to get WNBA star Brittany Griner back from Russia. Plus, a new groundbreaking to bring affordable housing to New York City. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets with a walk-off win to sweep the Subway Series. The Yankees have acquired a new outfielder.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 45, and NASDAQ futures down 91. The DAX in Germany is little change, and the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.77%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.97%. Nathan.
Karen, the drop in futures comes after the biggest one-day gain for tech stocks since November 2020. The NASDAQ surged 4.3% yesterday following resilient earnings and the Fed's press conference. Randy Watts, chief investment strategist at O'Neill Global Advisors, says there's light at the end of the tunnel.
I think the minute the stock market can identify or see, we don't have to be there, but can see the end of the Fed tightening cycle, I think stocks are headed up a lot higher.
Randy Watts at O'Neill Global Advisors notes the S&P 500's on course for its biggest monthly gain since October of last year.
Well, Nathan, reaction is still pouring in this morning to yesterday's Fed decision. Chair Jay Powell says moderate hikes are coming, but the pace will slow at some point.
As the stance of monetary policy tightens further, it likely will become appropriate to slow the pace of increases while we assess how our cumulative policy adjustments are affecting the economy and inflation.
At the same time, Jay Powell and the Fed are losing credibility. That's according to Scott Minor, the chief investment officer at Guggenheim.
After this run-up we're getting in the stock market and the bond market right now, that by next week we're going to be sitting around and questioning, are they really being credible?
Guggenheim's Scott Minard said the economy may already be in a recession. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Mohammed Alarian says there's no good outcome in the Fed weighing inflation against slowing growth.
It's a Fed that needs to re-anchor itself, but the real economy is again running ahead of it.
And both Mohammed Alarian and Scott Minard made the comments on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television.
Up next, Karen, we get a key reading on the U.S. economy. Second quarter GDP comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists expect annualized growth of 0.5%. On the surface, that would be an improvement after a 1.6% drop in the first quarter.
And we turn to earnings now, Nathan, where tech is front and center. Shares of Meta Platforms down 5%. The parent of Facebook and Instagram reporting its first ever quarterly sales decline. And here's CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
We seem to have entered an economic downturn that will have a broad impact on the digital advertising business. And it's always hard to predict how deep or how long these cycles will be, but I'd say that the situation seems worse than it did a quarter ago.
The weak results from Zuckerberg's Meta Platforms is weighing on sentiment this morning after revenue forecasts fell short of estimates.
Well, next, Karen, we enter the busiest day of this earnings season, highlighted by reports from Apple and Amazon. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has the details.
Apple's quarterly profit may have declined. If it did, it would be the first drop in almost 2 years. Investors will be especially interested in hearing about iPhone sales, since the device typically accounts for half of Apple's revenue. Bloomberg Intelligence says we may hear that Amazon.com's online revenue gains and profit slowed, but there is strong potential for continued growth in cloud services, streaming, and advertising. Walmart issued a profit warning this week, but Amazon is not Walmart. BI says its customer base is more affluent. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. On the M&A front this morning, we're learning that JetBlue is close to an agreement to buy Spirit Airlines. And Bloomberg's Renita Young is here live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say JetBlue's deal to buy Spirit could come as soon as today. The airline swooped in just hours after Spirit ended a pending merger with Frontier Airlines. That deal fell apart on a lack of shareholder support. A Spirit acquisition would be JetBlue's best shot to broaden its network quickly. It'll also inject an infusion of pilots and aircraft orders, both of which are expected to be in short supply for several years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Geopolitics is also on the front burner this morning, and we're learning more about the agenda for today's call between Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping of China. And Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The two world leaders will discuss Trump-era tariffs, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a price cap on Russian oil, climate change, and economic competition. National Security Council Communication Strategy Coordinator John Kirby says he expects the president will also bring up China's increasingly aggressive actions in the South China Sea.
I would fully expect that part of the president's conversation that tensions in the South China Sea will come up.
Today's call comes as tensions are rising over a possible visit to Taiwan by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, an energy and tax bill may have just come back to life in the Senate. Senators Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer have reached a deal on a $739 billion package that includes a 15% corporate minimum tax, $300 billion in deficit reductions, and $369 billion for energy and climate change. Bloomberg Politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zainab says it's a win for Democrats.
It's a big victory for what I call the purple Dems, those Democrats who have to go to these moderate districts with a president with approval ratings in the 30s, have been looking for something to take home. I don't think they ever suspected they would get both chips and reconciliation.
And Bloomberg contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zainab spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. Futures moving lower on this Thursday morning. Straight ahead, we'll have your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 74 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident. Mamaroneck, southbound New England Thruway, exit 18B. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has made an offer for the release of WNBA star Brittany Griner and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan from prison in Russia. Blinken said he plans to put the U.S. proposal before Russian officials, and he plans to bring up grain shipments from Ukraine.
I plan to raise an issue that's a top priority for us, the release of Americans Paul Whelan and Brittany Griner, who've been wrongfully detained and must be allowed to come home.
Secretary Blinken says he plans to speak with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in the coming days. A person familiar with the offer said the U.S. would swap them for imprisoned Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout. However, Russia says no agreement has been announced yet. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in New York today. She will be in Brooklyn to meet with community leaders. They will discuss the Biden administration's investment in underserved communities, financial institutions, and small businesses. Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced the groundbreaking on an affordable housing development in the Morris Heights section of the Bronx. Hochul says the $189 million development will feature 326 affordable apartments, including 200 homes with supportive services for individuals experiencing homelessness.
Right now, 60% of Bronx households are rent burdened. What does that mean? They spend more than 30% of their income on rent. Well, just earlier this week, I was talking about how people are spending 30 to 40% of their income on childcare. So add that up. You're someone trying to pay for rent, and you got a couple of kids who need child care because you need to have a job to pay for this. It doesn't add up.
Governor Hochul went on to say the development will provide safe, stable homes for more than 300 residents of the Bronx and offer critical resources and amenities to support the neighborhood in the long term. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un unleashed fiery rhetoric yesterday as they celebrated the 69th anniversary of the Korean War armistice. Kim warned that he's ready to use his nuclear weapons in potential military conflicts with the U.S. and South Korea. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Bragging rights to the Mets. They got an early home run from Pete Alonso. It was 26. They got brilliant pitching from Max Scherzer on his 38th birthday through seven scoreless innings. Struck out Aaron Judge three times. Yankees did tie the game on a Gleyber Torres two-run homer eighth inning, but in the bottom of the ninth.
1-0 to Marte. Peralta deals. Swinging a liner to left, base hit, put it in the books. Here comes Escobar. He scores the winning run. Marte slams his helmet down at first. The Mets have swept the Yankees. They have defeated them 3-2. The Mets pour out of the dugout. They are mobbing Starling Marte to the right of second base.
WCBS to call. So two new Mets playing in their first Subway Series combined to win it in the ninth. The Marte hit after a leadoff double by Eduardo Escobar. Braves lost. The Mets are three games ahead. They're off tonight. The Yankees tonight host Kansas City, which means the Yanks' new outfielder will face the team that just traded him. A long-rumored deal took place. The Yanks acquire All-Star Andrew Benintendi, who was hitting 320 for the Royals, who get back three minor league pitchers. This presumably ends talk of the Yanks getting Juan Soto, but they are believed to still be looking to add a starting pitcher. Two names mentioned often, Cincinnati's Luis Castillo, Oakland's Frankie Montas. The trade deadline next Tuesday. Another big-name golfer bolts the PGA for the new LIV Tour. It's Bubba Watson. He's a two-time Masters champion. The LIV Tour starts a tournament tomorrow at Trump National in Bedminster, New Jersey. Atlanta Falcons made it official. They lost Matt Ryan. Now their new starting quarterback will be the recently acquired Marcus Mariota. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures now down 13 points. Now futures down 49. NASDAQ futures down 93 points. The 10-year Treasury is little changed right now. The yield, 2.78%. Yield on the two-year, 2.97%. Just ahead, more on the Fed's policy decision from guy who was in the room with Fed Chair Jay Powell. Bloomberg's Michael McKee joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, some passing showers and storms today with a high near 90 degrees. We'll have some more afternoon showers and storms to end the week. Highs back near 90. Mix of sun and clouds Saturday, upper 80s. Right now, 74 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A dip in U.S. stock index futures suggesting the U.S. rally could stall, with technology stocks set to pull back after their biggest jump since November 2020, with big tech to be in our particular focus today with results from Amazon.com, Apple, and Intel. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 57 and NASDAQ futures down 93. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.78%. Yield on the two-year, 2.97%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.9% of $1.87 at $99.13 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.2% or $20.60 at $17.58.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0161 against the dollar. British pound 1.2128 and the yen 135.50. And Bitcoin is up 0.7%. It's at $22,940. And Jack Ma planning to cede control of Ant Group, that according to Dow Jones, who cited people familiar with the matter. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A possible prisoner swap with Russia could bring WNBA star Brittany Griner and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan back to the U.S. A person familiar with the offer said it would swap them for imprisoned Russian arms dealer Victor Boot. However, Russia says there is no agreement yet. Senator Joe Manchin and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer have struck a deal on a tax, energy, and climate bill. It breaks a deadlock on the Democrats' long-sought legislation to enact major parts of President Biden's agenda. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees. The Guardians beat the Red Sox. The Nationals and Orioles also lost. The A's beat the Astros. The Diamondbacks beat the Giants. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. To 619 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee is back in the Interactive Broker Studio this morning after a quick trip down to Washington, D.C. to watch the Federal Reserve raise interest rates by 75 basis points again. Michael, good morning. So we got the rate increase that the market was expecting. What did you make of the messaging on where rates may or may not go from here, Mike?
Well, I think the way I put it yesterday is the Fed knows where it's going. It just doesn't know where it is at this point. We don't have enough data to know if the Fed has really put us on a sustainable path of lower inflation or if the Fed has started us on a path to a recession. The problem is data are backward looking and we don't have enough of it yet to really get the measure of the Fed's rate increases. But they know they want to get a little bit above neutral right now. When the Fed funds futures start trading today, they should be trading just at the bottom end of the Fed's neutral line. So they are going to raise rates above that. That's about 2.5 to 3%, Nathan. And they're going to raise rates above it. But how quickly they do that and how far above it they go will depend on getting more data.
Yeah, it's interesting that you term it as the Fed not necessarily knowing where it is right now, particularly when we heard from the chairman yesterday pretty much saying that they're going to get even more data dependent. That's a big risk, isn't it, when the data are backward looking and it makes it much more difficult to tell whether policy is having the intended effect of bringing inflation back to bear.
Yeah, you have to get the various measures of the economy and try to interpret from those where the economy might be going. Today, we'll get the GDP numbers, and the Fed will be looking at not the headline so much as they'll be looking at consumer spending and business investment and then taking apart the various parts of consumer spending and business investment to see what's growing and what's not and what might have been affected by interest rates and what just kind of kept on going. So they'll be doing that, then they'll look at the employment cost index, which comes out tomorrow. It's sort of the best measure in detail of incomes, and they'll try to figure out who's making money and how they're making it. Is it the wage people? Is it the salary people? Is it the folks on Wall Street who, you know, get paid fees and bonuses? So a lot of scientific work on data is going to be ahead for the Fed.
Yeah, and a lot to go before the next decision coming up in what, just about 2 months from now? I mean, that's going to be a lot of data that the Fed is going to have to digest from now until then. Give us an idea of where we could see the messaging going from here, given all the uncertainties that are just down the pike.
Well, after this week, the next big data point is a week from tomorrow when we get the July jobs report. The Fed's made a big deal out of how low unemployment is and that growth in jobs has been steady. And so if that slows at all or if unemployment goes up at all, then that'll raise growth fears on Wall Street. If it doesn't, then that could embolden the Fed to raise rates at a faster pace to a higher level. Then we'll get on August 10th the CPI report for July, and obviously that will be very big as it was the last time. But before the Fed meeting, we get two CPI reports, two jobs reports, and the PCE inflation indicator, which is the Fed's favorite. So they have a lot of data to look at, and you know, why take a stand on what you're going to do right now when you might have to change your mind later?
In our last minute here, Mike, for those who missed the news conference, what'd you ask the chairman and did you like the answer?
I sort of asked him about this knowing where you are thing. You know, where does the Fed think it is and where does the Fed think its policies have had an effect? And I didn't get a specific answer, but that's where I took the idea that they don't quite know where they are yet from. There wasn't a lot in this news conference that was new, They left out the idea of forward guidance, but beyond that, everything happened as expected. So not a lot of surprises this time. We just have to keep an eye on the data going forward. You have to tune into Bloomberg Radio on a regular basis to get that information.
Get the plug in. Thank you, Mike. Always great having you on. Michael McKee, our economics correspondent here on Bloomberg Radio, where we'll be parsing the data high frequency from now until the next meeting in late September. Right now, futures moving lower. We got S&P futures down about 11 points right now. Dow futures down 48. NASDAQ futures are lower by 89 points. 10-year Treasuries up 1/32nd now. The yield 2.77, almost 2.78% on the 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year right now, 2.97%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mix of sun and clouds, some passing showers and storms, upper 80s today, tomorrow, and the next day, actually. When we'll see some more afternoon showers and storms tomorrow, most likely. Right now, 74 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.08% to 3.08%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are slumping after the biggest gain for tech stocks since November of 2020. Yesterday's push higher came after resilient earnings in the Fed's press conference, but Victoria Green, Chief Investment Officer at G Squared Private Wealth, remains defensive.
I think the market breathed a sigh of relief that really wasn't necessary. So I think we realize earnings really aren't that strong. We're going into a hawkish tightening cycle and a weakening economic cycle. And I always think it's funny, if we're arguing about the definition of recession, we're probably in a recession.
Victoria Green with G Squared Private Wealth said the Fed is not being accommodative, but it is communicating well.
And reaction continues to pour in, Karen, to Fed Chair Jay Powell's latest comments. The Fed raised interest rates 75 basis points, and Powell signaled more hikes coming, but ditched specific guidance.
The pace of those increases will continue to depend on the incoming data and evolving outlook for the economy.
Chair Powell says the Fed is fully committed to restoring price stability.
Well, up next, Nathan, we get a key reading on the U.S. economy. Second quarter GDP comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists expect annualized growth of 0.5% after our first quarter contraction.
Okay, let's turn to earnings now, Karen. Shares of Meta platforms are down more than 5%. The parent of Facebook and Instagram reported its first ever quarterly sales decline. Up next, we get results from Apple and Amazon.
And on the M&A front, Nathan, JetBlue is close to an agreement to buy Spirit Airlines. Bloomberg's Renita Young is here live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say JetBlue's deal to buy Spirit could come as soon as today. The airline swooped in just hours after Spirit ended a pending merger with Frontier Airlines. That deal fell apart on a lack of shareholder support. A Spirit acquisition would be JetBlue's best shot to broaden its network quickly. It'll also inject an infusion of pilots and aircraft orders, both of which are expected to be in short supply for several years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks. Couple important political notes. Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping speak today, and on Capitol Hill, Senators Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer have reached a deal on an energy and tax bill.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Earnings from Merck crossing the Bloomberg second quarter sales, beating analyst estimates. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. To 6:33 on Wall Street, we're at 74 degrees in Central Park, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he intends to speak with Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov about a substantial offer to free imprisoned Americans Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. A person familiar with the offer said it would swap them for imprisoned Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout. However, Russia says there is no agreement yet. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
This has been at the top of the mind for the president and for his whole national security team. He receives regular updates about the status of our negotiations to secure Brittany and Paul's release, as well as other U.S. nationals who are wrongfully detained or held hostage in Russia, and I might add, around the world as well.
Spokesman Kirby says, though, they won't negotiate in public. Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced the groundbreaking on a $189 million affordable housing development in the Morris Heights section of the Bronx. Governor Hochul says it will feature 326 affordable apartments.
Over 200 of these homes are going to be for people who've been homeless, who experienced some of life's challenges, whether it's substance abuse or mental health challenges. They'll be able to get the supportive services, not by trying to travel across town and go see somebody who might be able to help them someday, maybe in between their jobs, but right here on site.
Governor Hochul says the national affordability crisis is driving rent and other costs to new highs. A 70-year-old woman on Long Island was attacked and killed by the family dog. Police in Nassau County say they do not know what prompted the family's 7-year-old pit bull to attack the woman. Nassau County Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder said her husband came home from work as the woman was being attacked in the backyard and called 911.
When the husband arrived at 1 o'clock, he went into the backyard and he found his wife being attacked by the dog at that time, being dragged through the yard.
Commissioner Ryder said the dog turned on one of the responding officers who shot and killed him. New York Attorney General Letitia James asked a judge to allow her to join a lawsuit brought against Glock by a New York woman wounded in an April shooting on a crowded subway train. Earlier this month, Glock sought to have the suit dismissed under a federal law shielding gunmakers from liability. The producers of Jeopardy say Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings will both continue hosting the game show next season. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Mets had to like their chances of sweeping the two-game Subway Series. They won Tuesday, and last night was Max Scherzer pitching on his 38th birthday, going against Domingo Herman, and Scherzer was terrific. 7 scoreless innings. He struck out Aaron Judge 3 times. Pete Alonso homered. Mets led 2-0 eighth inning when Gleyber Torres tied the game. 2-run homer off David Peterson, but 2 new members of the Mets combined to win it. Bottom of the ninth, leadoff double by Eduardo Escobar. He scored on a game-winning hit by Starling Marte. Mets won 3-2. They go up 3 games on Atlanta. And Jacob DeGrom pitched 4 innings for AAA Syracuse. Gave up 4 runs, but word is DeGrom will make his highly anticipated season debut sometime next week in a series in Washington. Meanwhile, the Yankees made a trade with Kansas City, one that had been rumored for a while. The Yanks sent 3 minor league pitchers to the Royals for outfielder Andrew Benintendi. Here's Judge and his new teammate.
A piece like that, and especially a guy like that who's been, you know, hitting well over 300 all year, you know, playing great defense and, you know, being kind of a spark plug over there in Kansas City. Anytime you bring them into the type of culture we got, it's always a plus and kind of a, you know, boost energy.
When Judge was Rookie of the Year in 2017, Benintendi, then with the Red Sox, finished second. He's won a Gold Glove. He was just an All-Star. He's also unvaccinated. He may not be able to play when the Yanks go to Toronto in September, and they could possibly face the Blue Jays in the playoffs. Mike Trout downplayed a quote from the Angels trainer that Trout's back injury could affect him for the rest of his career. Trout says he expects to return this season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And, of course, the big mover, Kriti, this morning with tech stocks on the decline has to be, what are we calling it, Facebook, Meta? Which team are you on?
This is such a controversial question, Nathan. I think I'm going to call it Meta because that is technically its name. And the ticker, by the way, is now M-E-T-A. But, of course, for those unfamiliar with the metaverse, we can call it Facebook as well. Down 5% this morning in the pre-market. Once again, M-E-T-A is your ticker. This comes after a disappointment with that forecast miss. It's their first ever revenue drop. In some ways, we saw this coming with Snapchat, with Twitter last week, all that pain in the advertising revenue really hitting a snag. And, of course, Meta, or formerly known as Facebook, also has a lot of these demographic challenges. So this is going to be really crucial. Also, remember, just recently, for those who are into pop culture, Kylie Kardashian recently came out and said Instagram needs to look less like TikTok. So you are starting to see Meta try to make their platforms a little bit more geared towards a younger audience. They're still dealing with that. And in those efforts, or lack thereof, I should say, lack thereof success, you are starting to see the advertising sale efforts diminish as well. It's pretty clear to advertisers here that Facebook does have a demographics problem. So that, of course, is taking quite the hit. The revenue for this quarter is set to be $26 billion, $28.5 billion. The estimate, Nathan, was $30.3 billion. So they really fell short of that. And that's why you're seeing Meta shares down about 5% this morning.
And, of course, you got a lot more tech earnings. So two big names in particular reporting later today.
Two big ones. So we'll start with Apple here. AAPL is down about 0.6%. Amazon, AMZN is your ticker, down about 1%. Both are reporting after the bell. Both are these massive macro proxies. But remember, this price action that you're seeing early in the pre-market, it's really a reaction to yesterday. We saw the NASDAQ close over 4% yesterday with this kind of massive rally coming off the Fed, but then also coming off Alphabet and Microsoft earnings. So to see a little bit of a pullback right now is completely natural. That being said, Apple is still that major proxy. Supply chain issues. Buybacks are going to be crucial, just how much cash they have. And of course, for Amazon, the consumer story and the cloud story, crucial for that company.
And just quickly, we were reporting that JetBlue and Spirit Airlines are close to a deal on a merger. Now it looks like it could be a done deal.
It looks like they're right on the edge of getting together. This is going to become a major deal when it comes to becoming a very competitive low-cost carrier. For those who aren't familiar, Spirit was being acquired, or merging, I should say, with Frontier Group, was going to be a low-cost regional carrier there. Looks like that deal fell through yesterday when the shareholder vote came through. JetBlue hopping on it. Now they're in active conversations. Remember, JetBlue is also going under regulatory scrutiny with American Airlines. Nevertheless, that is good news for Spirit. SAVE is your ticker, up 3.7% this morning.
Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning. Taking a look at stocks as a whole, S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures down 77 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32. The yield, 2.78% on the benchmark 10-year Treasury. Now, this is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather calls for highs near 90 degrees into Saturday, but today and tomorrow could see some afternoon showers and storms. Right now, 75, partly cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures lower this morning on a busy morning for corporate earnings and on a deal in the airline industry. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here is Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 60 points. S&P's drop 11, while NASDAQ futures are looked off by 78. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.78%. Gold is up 7. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is up by 1%. Asian markets were quiet overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, GDP and initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, Facebook had its first ever revenue drop. And regarding some of those earnings this morning, Merck boosted its fiscal year sales forecast. Honeywell and Pfizer EPS beat estimates. In deal news, JetBlue to buy Spirit Airlines for $33.50 a share in cash. And wrapping things up, Best Buy was cut to hold at Jefferies. Kraft Heinz was raised to buy over at Stiefel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type SQUAWK on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And yeah, earnings continue to cross the Bloomberg again. Pfizer's second quarter revenue beating analyst estimates. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia says no agreement has been reached yet on a prisoner swap with the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says they will offer a way to bring WNBA star Brittany Griner and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan out of Russian detention and back to the U.S. A person familiar with the potential swap says the U.S. is proposing trading infamous Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout. Russian forces have launched massive missile strikes on regions near Kyiv. Meanwhile, Ukrainian officials announced an operation to liberate an occupied region in the country's south. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees 3-2. The Guardians beat the Red Sox 7-6. The Dodgers beat the Nationals. The Rays beat the Orioles. The A's beat the Astros 4-2. The Diamondbacks beat the Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. And it's 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news now in science and technology with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet the demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. On Capitol Hill, the House is expected to approve a bill which includes $52 billion for U.S. semiconductor manufacturers. The Senate passed the measure yesterday. It's a major legislative victory for President Biden. The U.S. chip industry has steadily lost ground to overseas rivals in recent years. After weeks of delays, health regulators say nearly 800,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine will soon be available for distribution. The announcement comes amid growing criticism that authorities have been too slow in deploying the vaccine, potentially missing the window to contain what could soon become an entrenched infectious disease. And more research suggests it may be time to abandon the craze over vitamin D. In a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, researchers say taking high doses of the vitamin does not reduce the risk of broken bones in generally healthy older Americans. An estimated third of Americans 60 and older taking the supplements and more than 10 million blood tests for vitamin D levels are performed annually, despite years of controversy over whether the average older adult needs either. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Senators Manchin and Schumer reviving an economic deal that Washington had left for dead. Secretary of State Blinken to speak with his Russian counterpart about a prisoner swap, and President Biden speaking with China's Xi Jinping with a Pelosi trip to Taiwan still up in the air. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick from the nation's capital. Jack, let's start off with this deal in the Senate Democratic side. We had thought this wasn't going to get done until maybe September. How'd this come to pass?
Oh, we really didn't think that this was going to happen at all, at least a substantial portion of what they just announced. They had been moving forward on the Democratic side with a bill that really was mostly a prescription drug pricing measure with some Affordable Care Act subsidy extensions. And then yesterday, Manchin announced he and Schumer had come to an agreement on tax measures. The big one is a 15% corporate minimum tax, and energy and climate spending and tax measures, essentially some clean energy stuff that's tied to a requirement that there be federal land, oil, and gas leases. So it's sort of a Joe Manchin, all of the above energy policy. But there is clean energy stuff in there that Democrats had thought they would have to give up on. So this really came together quietly and made this a much bigger bill. Not quite the original Build Back Better, but significantly larger than what they had been talking about recently. A lot of people had given up on a significant tax and energy measure through the reconciliation process.
Yeah, I guess the idea here, Jack, is that it's bigger than nothing, which we had thought was going to be the case, at least into the Senate recess here. But when we think about the tax provisions, are all 50 senators on the Democratic side on board with a 15% corporate minimum tax?
We don't know yet. You know, there's been so much focus on Manchin that I think sometimes it's lost that Kyrsten Sinema is probably the other main X factor, especially on tax issues. There is a measure in this deal that Manchin has signed off on to close the carried interest loophole. It's basically a way that fund managers pay lower amounts on their income by considering it carried interest rather than paying an income tax. It wouldn't raise a massive amount of money if they needed to pull it out. that might not kill the bill. But cinema has not signed off on something like that in particular. They do need unity on this. It's something Republicans are not going to support. They can do it with 50 votes plus the tiebreaker, but that means they need all 50 Democrats to agree. So cinema could play the spoiler. The House is such a narrow margin. We can't guarantee that it gets through the House. But to have a deal between leadership and Manchin is the biggest step forward that Democrats have taken on these kinds of issues.
Yeah, and certainly if it goes forward, a pretty significant political and policy victory for President Biden as well. Let's turn to something else happening in the Biden administration. We got this announcement from Secretary of State Blinken that he's working on a potential prisoner swap with Russia.
Yes. He just said yesterday he is planning to speak with Sergey Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, and that previously some information had come out that there was an offer to swap the Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout for Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. We don't have an update yet on what exactly the Russian response was to that. It may be the case that they're trying to provoke more of a response from Russia to that offer by talking about this publicly and saying that they plan to follow up and have a call between Blinken and Lavrov, which would actually be the first direct communication between them since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So it is, I guess, if not a gamble, a significant investment from Blinken and the U.S. to try to reach out and force the issue and follow up on this offer on a prisoner swap.
And, of course, we do have the call confirmed now this morning between President Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Is there still an overhang, though, about Speaker Pelosi potentially going to Taiwan?
That is maybe the main issue that we're going to be looking for to see if they discuss that. Pelosi has not ruled out the possibility of a trip to Taiwan. That is something that the Chinese government has warned against. And you heard a little while back Biden say that the military, the U.S. military, didn't think it was a good idea. So that is the probably primary point of tension in this call between Biden and Xi Jinping. I would also look to see if there's conversations about lifting tariffs applied on China during the Trump administration. That's the other big thing to look forward to in that call. But those two issues would be really big ones for Biden and Xi to discuss.
In our last minute here, Jack, some interesting breaking news this morning. Reports that House Democrats are thinking about a ban on stock trading.
Yeah, so Punchbowl had a story this morning that House Democrats plan to announce a proposal that would ban lawmakers and their spouses and senior staff from trading stocks. Essentially, this would allow things like mutual funds, but they couldn't actually be trading stocks. They could either divest completely or put their assets in a blind trust. This is a bill they would want to enact into law. So this is something that would have to get 60 votes in the Senate. Raises a lot of questions about exactly how that would happen. It's a House Democratic proposal. There's no bipartisan deal on this kind of thing. And when you get closer to the midterms, maybe it's a bit more political messaging. But it's an issue that has come up enough over the last couple of years that it's clearly got some salience. And it's an issue where House Democratic leadership feels the need to put out a proposal.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick with us this morning. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures down 12 points. Dow futures down 67. NASDAQ futures are lower by 84 points. 10-year Treasury little changed right now. The yield 2.78% and the yield on the 2-year right now 2.97%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keen, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.